Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, let's talk a little bit about ticket prices. This is our kind of a shoot segment with Zane and I. And Zane, you had contacted me last week, and you had told me that the WWE was coming December the 2nd to the Maverick Center. Remember that?
Yes. A day that shall live in infamy. Oh, wait, that was December 7th.
Oh, that was December the 7th, yeah.
You
know, I checked on the ticket prices. Can you believe how much they're asking for an event?
Well, I remember last year I went with two guys from my old work, and you weren't able to. I remember I went with Ron Davis and his son Greg. It probably would have been about that same time. There must have been their second tour, you know, because they came to Salt Lake twice in 2016.
Yeah.
And I went with Ron and Greg the second time, because you couldn't come, because I think the tickets were $65 then.
Uh-huh. That was for the good seats, right?
Lower bowl. And I mean, not like they were spectacular tickets or anything.
Well, I looked into it, and, you know, the seating arrangement for the Maverick Center in Salt Lake City is kind of like a horseshoe, where one end of the arena is where the entrance ramp is, and then the ring's in the middle, and then they have the seating kind of around. Well, they were wanting $25, which I think is a decent price for the faraway seats. You know, not bad. $25, because, you know, really, you can afford $25 if you didn't mind sitting up and having to use binoculars to see, especially the girls that are so small, like Alexa Bliss. But to get to the ringside and near the entrance ramp, it's over $100.
Yeah, and that's why last year, I think both times we've just gone, you know, it's out in the middle of the lower bowl, because it's unaffordable to do that. I mean, I could see if it was a Raw, you know, or a SmackDown, a live, you know, or a live taping of some sort, maybe paying that much price. But, you know, in way of comparison, November the 4th, UCW Zero is having an event at the complex. It's $25, straight up. No questions asked. I mean, I know that it's not as big a name, but they are bringing some big names this time, Dave.
Yeah, they are.
So, I mean,
Lucha Park and Tejano from Lucha Underground. Tejano's from there. Marty the Moth's going to be there. What in the world is going on with the pricing? Are they pricing themselves out of the market?
Oh, absolutely. But they don't care. Because, you know, instead of packing the arena and charging, you know, $50 a ticket, they'll semi-pack the arena and charge, you know, $100 a ticket, and they'll still get the amount of money, but they won't have the impact on the arena, and they won't have to put on as, you know, good as a show. They won't be held accountable as much if they don't put on a very good show.
Well, you remember, I think it was on the last pod, you and I were talking about an event that SmackDown Live did in Iowa, I think it was. And they actually had to do what WCW used to do all the time and move people around so that the arena looked like it was packed because they put everybody on one side and put them in seats together so the TV shots wouldn't show a lot of empty seats.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, give
you
me
know,
a break,
and
guys.
I remember when I went to I went to a Nitro and to a Thunder taping in Salt Lake, you know, back in my younger days, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it was just slam jam packed in there, Dave. I mean, when, you know, and I just remember, like, when Goldberg came out and you know, the how loud the crowd was. And I don't know, man. I just don't see that intensity that much more.
Yeah. Well, you know, I expressed my disappointment on Facebook and our Facebook page, and Chunky Larry from Geeks of the Industry, who thanks again for letting us be part of your podcast network. He made some comments about it, and he asked if it was a house show or a taping. And it is a house show. It's a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that they would want to have a big crowd. I know that the last time you and I went, what would you say? The place was half full, maybe?
Well, every time I've gone to a house show, I don't know, Dave, it depends on how you're looking at it. I mean, as the arena as a whole, no, the arena as a whole was not half full. There was probably 5,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think there was that many? Yeah, there was probably 5,000. The lower sections of the lower bowl are always relatively full, and the floor's always pretty much filled up. From the whole arena standpoint, no, it wasn't half full, but from the venue and from that particular event, yeah, maybe the seating arrangement for that event, maybe half full, maybe.
Well, you know what I had to say about it, because I was wanting to go. I was really wanting to go, and I started looking at, you know, $25 for seats that I'm not going to be able to see very well, and then getting up into the $60, $80, $100.
Well, and another thing you need to take into account for, Dave, is people, I mean, you know, sometimes, if I may get a little personal here, I know your health doesn't cooperate all the time, and for you to try to go and sit up in, you know, an upper bowl seat clear up at the top, or even, you know, sometimes it's not very, is fair the right word, Dave?
Friendly.
Friendly?
I would say friendly. Yeah.
Friendly. Because do you remember when we were going up the stairs, and
yeah,
and you were almost to the top of the stairs, and not one of the staff or anybody offered to help you, and you got to the top, and they says, "Oh, you could have taken the elevator." It's like, well, you know, you, I remember it was right after your knee surgery, wasn't it? You had your cane.
Right. It was just a few months after my total knee replacement. And, yeah, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm out of shape, although I'm getting better at that. And, you know, it's tough for a lot of people. I noticed a lot of people struggling to get up and down. And you remember after the event, we went to the elevator, and there were people with us, and there was people with canes. There were people that, you know, had walking boots
crutches
on,
and walking boots and everything. And
but so I don't think, you know, and I think that's probably a problem at all events, not just the WWE. Just to be fair to them. There's a limited amount of handicap seating, which I wouldn't take that because I really don't need the handicapped seating. Although, if I sit in an area, and you know, and I know, I'm a big guy. I'm over 6'1", and you know, they don't build these arenas for someone who is 6'1" and large, because their knees are put up into their chest, and you know, old knees that play way too much basketball and football when they're younger, they start really hurting by the end of the evening. So I don't put that on them by any means, but the ticket price itself, when the numbers for the for Raw and SmackDown are down, the rating numbers are down, the attendance numbers, like what we talked about with SmackDown Live, evidently they're going down. I think that the marketing department needs to look at what they're doing and come up with some sort of plan to do something with it.
Let me play devil's advocate for a minute here, Dave. So,
sure.
Is it the marketing department, or are people just not as interested in professional wrestling anymore? And the WWE sees that, so they say, hey, you know, we're going to play strategy and just bump up the prices, you know, and still sell the same amount of tickets, you know, sell less tickets, but still make our revenue.
That's one way of looking at it, Zane. To be honest with you, I've worked in marketing and advertising my entire career, but I also know that there are people out there when they get excited about an event, a lot of people will look at the ticket price and say, hey, no way, I can't do it.
You know, the diehard fans are going to go. I'm going to go, Dave, and I'm going to take my kid, you know, and I'll bite the bullet, and I'll probably pay $160, probably not quite that much, but by the time they add in their fees and parking and we get something to eat, it's going to cost me over $200 for that one night. I'll bite the bullet because I want to go and I want to take my kid to it. But for the casual fan, no, they're not going to do it. You know,
yeah,
for somebody that turns on Raw maybe once or twice a month, or, you know, somebody that says, hey, you know, gosh, it's been a long time since I've been to a live event. I'd love to take my boys to that. They're out. They're priced themselves out of that. See, and NASCAR did the same thing, Dave. It's so unbelievably expensive to go to a NASCAR event now. And the Las Vegas Motor Speedway this last year, they did a great big renovation and they tore down, several sections of seating, because they're not filling them. They're just not doing it anymore. And they've priced themselves out. I mean, Dave, to go camping at a NASCAR event, literally our camp spot was the size of, I mean, it was big enough to pull a trailer in and our truck in. Literally, you walk out your door and you are in the neighbor's campsite. And there's no facilities, basically. And it was over, for the week of NASCAR, I think it was almost $500 for our campsite for the weekend.
Wow.
Just for our campsite.
Just for our campsite.
That's not including admission to the event or, yeah.
Wow.
And
that's unreal.
And that's been a big controversy in NASCAR for a long time. And if you notice, very rarely do they pan up to the seats anymore. They'll pan up to the lower section, you know. They used to, as the cars would go around the oval, they'd pan way up and you'd see the big terraces, you know, and Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the Petty Terrace and, you know, things like that. But they don't do that anymore. And I think you'll start seeing the same at WWE events.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, I was just talking with this weekend to one of my coworkers who's also a wrestling fan. And by the way, he loves our pod. So, Jason, hey, how you doing? He was complimenting our podcast, the last one we did on Saturday. We were talking about ticket prices too at the WWE event. And he told me that he found an event in Salt Lake City. It was John Cleese, you know, the comedian from Monty Python. And what was going to happen is they were going to show a showing of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, hilarious movie. And then John Cleese was going to come out and talk about it. The cheapest ticket price, I think this was at Kingsbury Hall, if I'm not mistaken, was $125.
Yeah.
To watch a movie and to see John Cleese. Now, excuse me, it would have been cool to see. And this guy that Jason, a huge fan of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, he told me right off, he says, man, I can't afford that. I told him the same thing, and we were talking about the WWE. He says, I can't afford to go, man. I just can't do it.
Since we're on this topic, and I know that we're kind of bouncing all over the place, and it's not 100% professional wrestling related, but I think this all is relevant. I remember I went to see a Kiss concert. It was the Kiss Farewell Tour. I think that was before the other Farewell Tour which I think they might still be touring, so maybe they're on a Farewell Tour right now.
Yeah,
anyways.
Another Farewell Tour.
Like 15, man. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, you know, how am I going to come up with $60 to go see Kiss? And, you know, my mother helped me, and I was able to work and earn some money. And then I remember as time's gone on, I went to see Motley Crue, and we had, oh, man, it was great seats, right? Like, we were, like, fourth row right back from the stage, where we could see Vince Neil was practically spitting on us and sweating on us.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid over $100 a piece for those tickets. And if you're right, Dave, it's just, it's in, and the more and more as time goes on, the more and more cost it is to go to these entertainment events.
It's scary to me because I think they're just pricing themselves completely out of the market. And I'm hoping that they'll see something. I had an idea. You know, why not give the people that are on the WWE Network a crack at getting some of those tickets and discount them a little bit?
Like a pre-sale or something, yeah.
Yeah, a pre-sale. You know, say something, you know, man, you know, you're a fan. Evidently, you're on the network. We're coming to your event. If you want these tickets, they're regularly $120. We'll give them to you for $80. I would feel like I was getting some value then instead of having to
offer something with it. You know, buy a ticket to buy this certain section a ticket and get a free month subscription or a free, you know, or a free 8x10 signed photo of John Cena or some discount to the WWE.com store or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. That is why I said the marketing department needs to get involved a little bit more, because I think there's ways to do that to make I don't make a lot of money. People think that radio people make a lot of money. I don't. You know, I'm just like anybody else, got an average paying job that happens to be pretty cool. I love my job, but I struggle every month, you know, to pay the bills, put a little money aside so I can do some cool things. And my disposable income for me to go to an event, just me, is about what I would want to pay for my wife and I to go to an event.
Well, and I think you're seeing that as a whole, Dave. If I'm not mistaken, you know, there's multiple professional sporting events that are, the attendance is down, you know.
Yeah.
I know the NFL is struggling. I don't know if they're, you know, and Dave, and struggling is a broad term, but I know we'll leave struggling out of it. But
okay.
I know that attendance is down at the NFL, and it's a similar situation. They're so expensive. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing almost to go to these type of events. And so is the professional sports industry pricing themselves out? Because you know as well as I do, same thing with the Raw. You get a better view from TV at home, Dave. You know,
exactly.
The camera's right there on the ringside, seeing the action. You know, and if you're there live, you're not seeing some of the things that are going on that the camera catches. And so is that – so a lot of people would say, well, it's just a house show. I'd rather just stay home and I'll watch Raw on Monday.
And what's going to happen at a house show? Yeah, nothing's going to happen at a house show. The last time a title changed hands at the house show was in New York City, and it was AJ Styles.
So, Dave, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, we saw that with Global Force, and I know when TNA went out a while ago, they were trying to pack these big arenas, and Global Force was trying to do that whole baseball minor league baseball thing, and it was completely a botch, unsuccessful. Let's just face the facts here. People can say what they want, but there's a reason why they're not doing it, is because it was unsuccessful. None of those events came even close to our area. So did they price themselves out, or are people just not interested in their product? What about those type of shows?
Yeah, I don't know how much they charge for the baseball events, but there were some that would draw 500-600 fans. I did notice one on ROH where they did one in Brooklyn, I think, at a minor league baseball stadium, that it didn't look like the house was very full, but as the evening progressed, you know, people were arriving late for it. You know, face it, you know, professional wrestling our sports entertainment, as Vince would like to say, isn't for everybody. But there is mm-hmm. a fan base out there that they should be trying to attract. And I think that maybe greed is coming into place a little bit, that it's pricing some people out of the live events and making them go to, you know, watch on Raw, watch SmackDown Live. I watched some ROH today that I recorded over the weekend. Really enjoyed it. But, man, yeah. this live event stuff for the big guys is just, I mean, I just can't do it, man.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, Dave, I think I would rather pay the $25 and or $15 and go see UCW Zero because it's a smaller event. It's more intimate. It's more, you know, the wrestlers can interact with the crowd more. You know, that you can get a lot more up close and personal. And honestly, the quality is there too. I know we've talked many times on the podcast, but I really give props to UCW Zero. That show they put on with Rey Mysterio Jr., you know.
It was awesome, man.
I don't recall even a remotely bad match that night. Every match was entertaining. Every wrestler put their heart and soul into their match and their promos. I thought it went off very, very well. I mean, better than other independent shows I've been to. And that's not trying to say anything bad about other independents. I'm just saying that that particular show was very well worth the money. And that's why I'm going again in November. You better come with me. And
I'm coming
because of that reason.
I mean, you know, $25 for a solid night of entertainment, plus the wrestlers are going to come out and talk to you a little bit, and maybe not, you know, the bigger stars, but, you know, the people like Andrew Sowell, who's going for a championship belt that night. I mean, he's the number one contender right now. And then the tag team matches, and then they've got the stars from AAA and the Lucha Underground coming. Hey, for $25, it's a deal. It really is. And you don't have to pay for parking.
I don't know, Dave. Where do we go from here? What do we do, man? Because you and I love the WWE. We love the product. I mean, we're even good. Even through the thick and the thin, we're still here. We're hanging on.
I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to promote them. But I can't. I mean, you've got Christmas coming up. I've got all kinds of expenses. I'm just looking at, you know, the price of parking, then having a dinner, and then if you buy a T-shirt or any kind of concession down there. And that's another thing. Concession prices are off the chain, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's usually the arena that for the mm-hmm. concessions, except for the T-shirts and stuff. But it's just something I just can't do. So.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned, you know, merchandise sales. I mean, good crime, any Dave. You know, you're $35 for an AJ Styles T-shirt. Come on, guys. No wonder why there's so many knockoffs on eBay and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I know these guys have got to make a buck. You know, that I'm all for the free market system, but when your market share starts going down, the thing isn't always to raise your price. Sometimes you have to find creative ways to get people, as Christopher Evans would say, to get butts in the seats. You got to get the tails in the seats.
And let's just admit right now, too, Dave, that the WWE is completely flooded right now. It's absolutely, uh-huh. completely flooded with superstars. And they do not have a place for them. And for the product too, you know, I mean, come on, you don't watch 205 Live. I don't watch 205 Live, but they don't have any place else for these people. You know, main event, who watches main event, Dave? When was the last time you turned on another podcast or a casual fan on the Turnbuckle Trash site or on any of the wrestling blogs you follow said, oh man, I tuned into main event last night? There was some great matches.
You know, if it wasn't for the network, I wouldn't even know it was still available. I see it on the network, and I just, you know, I don't even have time to watch NXT very often. I'll flip it on every once in a while just to see what's going on, but, and they've got some great talent in NXT, but I can't. That's a great point there. Is there a glut of product out there, especially in the WWE? And what are they going to do about it, man? What are they going to do about it?
Well, look at what we've seen, K-Dave, just this year alone. How many superstars that are excellent quality have we seen frustrated and leave? You know, Jack Swagger's gone. Wade Barrett's gone. Neville's gone.
Neville just walked out of Raw 2 weeks ago. Walked out. Yeah, I just think that they're frustrated because they can't. We realize it's predetermined and everything, but you know, these guys are in it also. There's a little bit of ego involved in anything that you do. You want to be the best and you want to be pushed. And sometimes there's just too many at the top.
Yeah. Well, and Cody Rhodes, you know, he's a perfect example of being able to make the independence successful for himself. You know,
yes.
I'm sure he can set his own price. He has some contractual obligations to ROH and TNA, but I don't know how strict they are.
Yeah, he just completely ended the TNA stuff, the Global Force.
Did he?
And now he is now an ROH talent, mm-hmm. along with his wife, Brandy. They're both in ROH now, and they, just on this TV, they acted like there was this big signing right in the middle of the ring on this last week's show. But he's been doing a lot of independent stuff all over the world. I've been making appearances. And then ROH has got this agreement with New Japan Wrestling that they're bringing in some New Japan stars, which is kind of cool to see. And then Global Force, I'm going to give some Global Force some credit here, okay? They have agreements with Crash out of Mexico, Triple A out of Mexico. They're bringing in some talent that has been on Lucha Underground. They're bringing in some independent talent that has been getting a lot of buzz on the independent scene and giving them a shot. I mean, they're trying, you know, and I'll give them props. They are trying to give us a good product.
I think I think so too. I hope they can hang in there. I hope that people can see the value in what they're doing, you know, but let's bring up another question, Dave. Do casual fans see the value of bringing in these AAA stars and stuff like that? Or do they even care about the casual fan? You know,
well, that's a good question.
When TNA brought in Hogan, of course you saw a viewership increase. It's frickin' Hulk Hogan, the biggest name in professional wrestling. And even some of these house shows, you know, when here, I'll be interested to see what happens at UCW with some other, you know, very talented personnel, but not, you know, WWE caliber or even just any caliber like Rey Mysterio. I mean, let's face it,
right?
95% of the world should know who Rey Mysterio Jr. is. When we went to that event, it was completely packed. I mean, we basically sat right behind a pole because there was no place to sit. Will we see that amount at this next show?
I would say probably not, but it will be interesting to see how big of a crowd it is.
So we talked on the last podcast, me and RJ talked about what does TNA do? A social media friend of mine, James Walsh, he says that, you know, TNA has got a solid product, which I agree with, and that they need to build from within and create stars from within.
Yeah.
They're not going to pick up any casual viewing with these people. They're just not.
No, they're not.
So do they care?
Probably not as much as they should, because, you know, you make the point that you've got to have stars, you've got to have people to draw people in, and, you know, how many people are going to know who Cowboy James Storm is, but they know who John Cena is?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the only reason why you and I know Cowboy James Storm is because we're fans.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's frustrating to me because I see it across the entertainment spectrum, to be honest with you, that they're trying to make money, which I'm all for, but holy, you know what, man? At a point, you've got to say, do I want butts in the seats that's going to buy concessions, or do I want somebody to pay $110 for a seat and not buy anything else?
And let's be honest, you know, the corporate world, they probably won't even, they don't even care about you and I.
Yeah, more than likely.
Honestly, little old Dave Denton and Zane O'Mac, if we quit watching and cancel our network subscriptions tomorrow, that's $20 a month the WWE loses out on. Why'd they care about that? And I'll pay the price. I will. I'll bite the bullet because I want to take my kid because I told him my 4-year-old loves professional wrestling. Yes, his dad does have something to do with that. But, and I can take him, I would feel more comfortable taking him to a WWE show right now because of their PG than a UCW right. Zero show.
You know, we'll see at UCW Zero. And hey, before I let you go, thanks for the gift last weekend when you were in Logan and you dropped off a, what was NXT ring, a Rowdy Roddy Piper action figure, and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Undertaker.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I hope you enjoy them.
It was awesome.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Undertaker was a surprise. I didn't want to tell you about that. I think you knew about the Rowdy Roddy Piper.
So awesome, man. I appreciate it.
So, okay. glad to be on the podcast with you here, Dave. I know we're a little pressed for time for this segment, but I'll kind of go along with what we were talking about earlier in the show. I saw Austin Aries tweeted out today that he something to the effect of he makes more money or was making more money at an independent show than he is with the WWE. Thoughts?
You know what? He's a name. I mean, he had a good run in the WWE. He did very well while he was there with 205 in the Cruiserweight Championship. He was a big star in the old TNA Impact days, and he has a little bit of a name as the world's greatest man, and he's a great performer. I think that's fantastic. You brought up a name earlier that I was going to put on later on the podcast, but I'll just do it right now. You know, I said I tried to watch Championship Wrestling from Hollywood on mm-hmm. U2 America. That's a small independent channel. And the sound was off. You know, it just they had no sound on it, so I didn't get to hear that. But Jack Swagger was there.
Oh.
Yeah, and he had somebody came out. I think they said it was Cassidy Swagger, a very attractive young woman. Mm-hmm. And came into the ring with him. They did the We the People stuff, and he took on a performer from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and I didn't see the name, but I have seen him before. I saw him one time on ROH as a security guard, you know, so it's somebody that has, you know, a little bit of potential. He's a big dude, and it was an entertaining match. I watched it without the sound, but these guys are out there still making a living on some of the independents. I love it.
What do you think about, I mean, since we all know kayfabe is gone and gimmicks and things like that, but what do you think and what are your feelings on why do we have such stupid gimmicks, you know, like the perfect 10 and, you know, some of these guys and things like guys like Neville and stuff that could be Adrian Neville that could be so successful in the right scenario and the club, you know, I mean, you got two guys from the club that were extremely successful in New Japan and they bring them over to WWE and make a joke out of them.
You know, to be honest with you, I think they did that on purpose. And the guys, you know, they're making probably more money in the WWE than they were in New Japan. I know exactly who you're talking about. And they're like you said, they're just made a joke out of it. And the Young Bucks, you know, they've refused to sign with the WWE. There's been a lot of movement to try to get them into the WWE. They say they don't want to go. I mean, they have come right out in podcasts saying, no, they don't want to go to WWE. They're enjoying what they're doing. They're making plenty of money, and they can be themselves.
You know, and I know that was a big thing when TNA was, you know, when Impact was real popular six, 7 years ago, there's a lot of former WWE talent, especially former WCW talent, that do 3 or 4 tapings once or twice a week. So they didn't have a grueling schedule, and they still made, six figures, if not close to six figures. Some a little more, some a little less. And so it's like, heck yeah, why not? And a lot of people right there that lived in Orlando, a lot of professional wrestlers either relocated to Orlando just to be right close to the impact zone. And
you know what? It's a business. It's a business that we enjoy watching. But, when you get right down to it, it's business, baby. It's just like a convenience store. It's just like a grocery store. You got to make money from what you're doing.
And Vince isn't a moron. He'll make the money no matter what he does.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they're calling him a moron.
Well, in other news, did you see Shane O'Mac? Shane O'Mac was in the news last week. Don't know if you noticed, we were caught on that. For his, he invested $500,000 into a growery in California. No, sorry, not California, Colorado. He's gonna invest in the marijuana business.
He's investing in the marijuana business, huh?
$500,000 of Shane O'Mac's. I think they said, I don't remember. I know he's worth in the billions too, but didn't catch how much. Maybe it wasn't quite billions, but I know he's worth quite a bit of money. But
yeah, Chunky Larry's gonna love that, by the way. Chunky's not afraid to light one up every once in a while.
That a boy. But Shane O'Mac's upset because he has not seen a return on his investment. So he is suing the growery for his $500,000 back.
No way.
He wants his green back because he ain't seeing no green. So.
That's short-sighted on his part. Now, I don't smoke marijuana. I never have. Don't intend to smoke marijuana. But as life goes on, it's going to become more available in more and more states, medical marijuana, recreational use. I know we're talking about a serious subject here, but if he wants to have a return on his dollar, he needs to stay in on the ground floor, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, gosh, Dave, we covered a lot in a short time. My heck, we've talked a little bit of news, a little bit of rumors, a little bit of Indies,
a little bit of...
Man, a little bit of the old, the good stuff.
Wacky weed.
Chunky Larry would say, huh?
Uh-huh.
I like to hurt people.
Woo! Okay, now, I want a foot fight, understand? I want a fair fight and a foot fight. No biting, no hair pulling, and no hitting below the belt.
And there goes that fantasy, man.
We're here.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The bell. Oh, boy. Let me at him.
Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash. Dave Denton, Audrey Salson, Zane Clears, and along. Dave, we're halfway through the show. Actually, over halfway through the show. Your pants are super high. And the floor is filled. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
There's some bars
in
this country.
I don't have to clean up your, unintended crap. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. hey, let's get into it. News, rumors, gossip. Let's talk, first of all, let's start up with Lucha Underground. Underground. I'm sorry. I got back from St. George at 2 a.m. this morning.
Right.
Ultima
Lucha Trace.
Tell me about this.
At the end of each one of their seasons, they have their big event, kind of like the WrestleMania for Lucha Underground, called Ultima Lucha Trace. It's where feuds end and new ones begin. And they were actually big enough this year that they did it in 4 parts.
Okay.
4 different weeks, 1-hour shows for 3 weeks, and then a 2-hour show that I just actually finished watching right when you came to the door.
Oh.
So the big match is their... have been 2 championship changes in Lucha Underground on Ultima Lucha Trace. It was Johnny Mundo, the champion, against Prince Puma,
And then Puma won the match, very physical match, won the match. He's the champion. But Dario Cueto comes out and says, oh, we're not through. There's another match. Pentagon Dark had won the previous week the Gift of the Gods title, and he wanted to be the Lucha Underground title. So they set up another match. It lasted a few minutes. Pentagon Dark breaks Prince Puma's arm. Prince Puma wraps it up and still competes, but he does lose. So at the end of the show, Prince Puma is walking off and takes his mask off. They're saying that Prince Puma is no longer going to be in Lucha Underground because the loser of that match could no longer be part of Lucha Underground.
Is this like one of those things that WWE does where John Cena got fired, but then 2 weeks later, John Cena comes back?
I don't know. It could be he took the mask off. Maybe he'll come back as his another persona.
Okay.
But there have been, once again, internet stuff going on that the wrestler, also known as Ricochet, who's been under the mask as Prince Puma, is getting ready to sign a deal with the WWE.
Okay.
This guy is really talented. He is extremely talented. He's got a great persona. He's got a great looking body. He makes incredible moves in the ring. So be looking for him. But if you get a chance, if you have not watched the match yet in Ultima Lucha Tres, it's Killshot against Dante Fox. I think you and I have talked about that.
Yeah.
One of the hard, it's a hardcore match. Bloody. Plate glass windows, barbed wire, not just cut foreheads like, you know, people blade. The next week after this, Killshot and Dante Fox wrestled for the Trios Championship with Mac. And they both came out, Killshot and Dante Fox, as teammates this time, but they can't stand each other. And they have bandages on. One of the bandages comes off the back of Dante Fox where he's wearing a shirt. And he literally has cuts all over his back and it starts bleeding again. There's blood all over the ring. If you like hardcore wrestling, you need to get on YouTube, find it. If you don't like gory wrestling and hardcore wrestling, don't watch this one. It was hardcore. I mean, ECW. Hardcore, probably one of the most hardcore wrestling matches I have ever seen. It was incredible. But now Johnny Mundo is now part of Global Force, and he's going to be wrestling for the Global Force Championship against Eli Drake, one of my favorites in Global Force.
So what's the next big event for Lucha Underground that we can look forward to?
Next season, fourth season. They take time off, and they have announced that they are going to do a season four. Now, Lucha Underground's a little bit different than most wrestling promotions. They're not year-round. It was explained to me by Marty the Moth that Lucha Underground takes the idea of them doing a television show with wrestling involved, where the other promotions do wrestling shows on television. So there are storylines that are a little bit more adult. There's storylines that are more violent. There's, you know, men beating up women. There was a murder at the end of this particular episode. There was an attempted murder at the end of this particular season, too, on Lucha Underground. Remember, this is a television show with wrestling. So their fourth season has been signed. They have found funding for that. I do not know the air dates for it, and I do not know who's going to be involved. I'm hoping that Martin Casals, Marty the Moth, will be involved because he's a friend of the program. He's a great guy, and if you ever get a chance to see Marty perform, you got to go see him.
Let's talk Impact.
Okay. Global Force. Global Force has been doing pretty good shows as of late. They had a recent show where the LAX, the tag team champions, took on a tag team I'd never heard of called OVE, Ohio versus Everything. What? A couple of brothers, and they eventually won the tag titles. I don't know. They're getting set for their pay-per-view, which is going to be in Canada, called Bound for Glory. They've been doing a good job. I think Global Force has done something that I think you and I talked about one time, where they need to team up with other promotions to promote each other. They've teamed up with Crash Wrestling out of, I think it's out of Northern Mexico, AAA out of Mexico. Every once in a while, you'll see other performers come in from other other places, other parts of the world, coming in to be part of Global Force. Good idea. That's the way they'll survive, by getting more people to see their product. And they're getting ready for Bound for Glory. They also have opened up their own streaming service. And they also were talking about a service that you can get on an app on your TV called Pluto TV. Have you ever heard of that? Pluto TV. It's an app. It has everything on it. It has movies. It has comedy. It has Impact Wrestling. It has MSNBC News, if you can call that news. It has old TV shows, old movies, sporting events. They're involved with the Big Sky Conference. Mm-hmm. It's called Pluto TV. It's an app. I have it on my phone. I've been watching a little bit late at night when I have trouble sleeping, and it's pretty good. Pluto TV on an app. So they've kind
of tuned out of this world.
Pluto.
All like this stage right.
Oh, and then all the talk we've been talking about. I guess we could talk about Uranus. That not
okay.
Planet
you know
anymore.
What? You know why do you have to do that? Why do you have to be that guy?
Because that's why I get paid the not so big bucks.
Oh my gosh! I'm getting paid to do this. Go.
How about ROH?
Sure.
ROH had their Death Before Dishonor match. And I think we've talked about Jay Briscoe.
Absolutely.
Jay Briscoe had a heel turn against Bully Ray. And this is not a work, guys. Bully Ray was injured. He was injured severely. The doctors are saying probably no more wrestling. They let Jay Briscoe come out, and he was going to explain his actions, but he never said a word, because Tommy Dreamer shows up on, this is on TV now. They're still in Las Vegas doing a TV match at Sam's Town. Tommy Dreamer comes out, starts talking about Bully Ray and how he had spent the night with Bully Ray in the hospital and how he did not know what was going to happen. The next week, which is the one that just aired this past weekend on our local TV, Bully Ray comes out. He has sunglasses on, jeans, and he's very laid back when he's talking. I mean, he's talking like this, saying that he can't take the loud noises anymore, that the injury was serious enough for him that he's now thinking about retirement. Everything that I have been reading, everything that I've heard, other podcasts, this is not a work. He had a fairly serious head injury combined with all the chair shots he took, you know, in ECW and all that, that this is pretty serious stuff. Maybe he can work back behind stage and, you know, be a booker or something, because he's a great wrestling mind. Mm-hmm. And I just wish him more than the best. The champion on ROH is Cody. He can't say Cody Rhodes. They just call him Cody. He's a member of the Bullet Club. And he is the champion, and they actually had an official signing of Cody Rhodes to ROH Wrestling in the ring. And then Cody says he was going to wrestle for that title that night, still in his street clothes, his nice suit, and his elephant skin cowboy boots is what they called him anyway. So who he gives the chance to? Cheeseburger. Have you ever seen Cheeseburger? The wrestler, Cheeseburger? You don't know who I'm talking about, do you? Evidently not. I'm getting the silent treatment. Cheeseburger stands about 5'8". And he, let's just put it this way. My thigh weighs more than Cheeseburger. 135 is what they list him at. 5'8". Skinny as rail. And they have a match. Actually, it was quite an entertaining match. Cody Rhodes did a good job.
So if Cheeseburger does go face, is he going to be called the Good Burger?
Oh, there's no such thing as a good cheeseburger.
You watch your language.
I don't like cheese.
Okay, well, then just don't be prejudiced against cheese then, or at least cheeseburgers. You stay out of it.
Okay.
That is disrespectful.
I don't like pizza either.
You apologize right now to all our listeners who are cheeseburger fans. You need to write a statement on our Facebook page about these comments.
The comments you heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. I proved it once again.
Or of our audience, or of your really good host, co-host.
There is a wrestler named Cheeseburger, and he's going to have a feud coming up with Will Ferrara.
With pickles.
That would be a good one. Or hot dog.
They should have a burger match. Cheeseburger, cheese versus pickles versus mustard versus...
I know what they need to do.
Just put them in a bun cell.
They need to get Cheeseburger to come to Salt
Lake
City.
Hell in a
bun. Hell in a bun. They need to get him to come to Salt Lake City. Cheeseburger comes to Salt Lake City. Taking on the guys from ADHD.
We have the match of five guys.
Too cheesy. Yeah, too cheesy. Andrew Sowell is going for the title for UCW in November the 4th. You need to come with me, by the way.
Doing a music halftime show will be Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Give it away. Give it away.
Okay, you didn't get it. Just stop. Just is there...
Red Hot Chili Peppers, I happen to like.
I doubt it.
Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. No. But that's what's going on ROH. So, how about some news from The Miz?
News from The Miz.
The Miz. The Miz is going to be a daddy. We all talked about that.
Yep.
He's also going to be a host of a new reality show, or a coming back reality show on MTV, More Tasteless Viewing. Is what MTV stands for. The show is called The Challenge, Champ versus Stars.
Okay.
It will feature a bunch of professionals like former Cameron, you know, when she was one of the Funkadactyls.
Yeah.
She'll be on there, and also a former UFC star, and they'll be taking on a challenge, and the grand prize winner gets $150,000 donated to a charity.
Cool.
So, be looking for that soon on MTV. And one other quick little note here. Have you watched MacGyver on CBS, the new MacGyver, the reboot?
Nope.
I watched the very first episode, and I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, I see somebody. I go, it was Brodus Clay.
Oh, no kidding.
Tyrus from Global Impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Brodus Clay, you know, he has been also on Fox News as a commentator on a show on Fox News, but he's branching out into acting. He's been a bodyguard in the past, and he did a really good job as one of the criminals of a gang in the new MacGyver. The first episode, if you ever get to see that, look for Brodus Clay, Tyrus, in that episode. It kind of reminded me when I was watching a show on ID Discovery about 4 or 5 months ago, we talked about, and it was talking about a real life murder, and they do some acting resetting this murder, and there was Chavo Guerrero Jr. as an actor on this show on ID Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there everywhere. Johnny Mundo. He's been getting roles in Hollywood, been doing some, you know, straight to video or DVD movies, but he's been getting some notice that way. So these guys, you know, they're out there making money.
Well, that was a lot of news, rumors, and gossip right there. I hope that Cheeseburger does get the flaming grilled win.
I hope he becomes a Burger King.
Oh, hey, nice. Yeah. I like that. His next match will be against Wendy.
Ah.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
You're getting hungry. Stop. I got to quit talking about food. You're looking at me in a really weird, creepy way. Stop that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us. By the way, hey, I just looked at this. We have a podcast on Pro Wrestling Card with like our names on it.
Yes.
With a website.
I was going to give you some.
TurnbuckleTrash.net. This is really cute, Dave.
My wife made that for us.
She is very creative. This is really impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Dave, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And thank you for not puking or pooping in the last hour. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that.
I appreciate not having to poop.
Because Zane would have really hated to have to clean up your poop. He would have just hated it.
No, he'd have made Chris.
Okay, Chris deserves better in life than have to meet your pooper scooper.
No, he doesn't.
That's Dave Denton, Audrey Salveson. Big thanks to Zane Pearson, of course, and all his great work. If you want to find us on Facebook, our page is Turnbuckle Trash. If you want to find us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash.
And also, we want to thank MSR and Chunky Larry.
And Geeks of the Industry. Right. Oh, my gosh. I've not mentioned them in a podcast in forever, and I'm so sorry. Geeks of the Industry, great stuff.
Yes.
Dave, it is phenomenal stuff. The website is just awesome. Geeks of the Industry. Give us a little background check on that, will you?
Geeks of the Industry, it's people that enjoy pop culture. There's a lot of
everything,
wrestling stuff on
there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything on there. A lot of, if you're into horror flicks, you know, the
which
scary
is a good
stuff.
Time.
Oh, yeah. They will. They talk about those. They talk about old ones, new ones. There's wrestling podcasts. They're building all the time, trying to find different types of podcasts. Geeksoftheindustry.com, a great website for everyone to check out.
That's geeksoftheindustry.com. A big thanks to them, and I apologize so much right now that I have not mentioned them previously. I'm overdue with this. I'm in debt to them. We are as well. So you've been listening to Turnbuckle Trash. We'll catch you next time after TLC.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
Hell in a Cell segment with Dave Denton, Audrey. Dave Denton.
Vince Neil was practically spitting on us and sweating on us.
What?
I'm not going to go raid your fridge.
Zane would.
Actually,
you should have never told me that story. I love that name.
Vince isn't a moron.